Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hey, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners out there in Radio Land.
We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for everything you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for close to 50 years. We can't thank you enough, and because of your generosity, it allows us to bring you great shows like today's. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get going here. The Matt Talbot Shrine is open in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Come down and visit the shrine between the hours of 9 and 5 on those Tuesdays and Thursdays. If you reach out to Father or I before you come down, we can make a point to meet you over there. Give you a quick tour of the Cathedral of South Philadelphia and an introduction to Matt Talbot. There's a number of retreats that are coming up that you might be interested in. On August 4th to the 6th, out at Malvern, we'll have our annual Calyx retreat. This Calyx is a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. And we'll be in the Family Life Center that weekend. Deacon Dan Giblin from Phoenixville will be the primary retreat director. But Father McKay, a couple other priests will be on hand over the course of the weekend. So if you have any interest in that, you can reach out to me at ken@inhissign.com. That's Ken, K-E-N, @inhissign.com. For the men out there, the Friel Retreat is coming up August 18th to the 20th. Father McKay will be the retreat director this year. They got a number of listeners that make that weekend. If you have any interest in that, you can register online at malvernretreat.com. If you click on register and then scroll down to the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Retreat. Again, that's August 18th to the 20th. That's men only. For the women, in September, they're having their inaugural Matt Talbot Women's Weekend out at Malvern. There has been a number of men's weekends out there for years. And my good friend Sean Mooney is helping some folks put together a weekend for women out there. This will be their first one. That's September 22nd to the 24th. Again, you can register for that one at malvernretreat.com. Click on register and scroll down to September 22nd and go ahead and register. Without
you can.
Yo.
I can barely hear you. Can you turn up your volume a little bit?
All right, Patrick Scotch, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, Matt being the primary patron of the show. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceive without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Anthony.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversations. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Also, let you know up front, Father, we're not going to do a show next week. Just because of everything that's going on around here. And for our listeners, it'll be the first of 4 weeks that we will not be live.
Nick, right off with pay?
Double pay. But, the facilities here where our studio is are being renovated, and we're going to start dismantling the audio equipment this coming weekend. So, The other broadcasters will be doing shows from other locations eventually, but we'll have an encore on next week, and then I'm going to be on vacation for the next 3 weeks. So after today, we won't be live again until July the 19th. So if you want to call in, today's the day. All right. And especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll kick it off with our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way and you want to share it with our listeners, give us a call again right before we go to the break. And then when we come back, we'll have that Odd or God moment. We are currently in the 10th week in Ordinary Time, and just a couple of saints in the calendar this week. Sunday, Barnabas the Apostle got bumped out. And yesterday, the 13th, St. Anthony of Padua. And then this Friday and Saturday, we celebrate the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on Friday and the Memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary on Saturday. So we thought that we would kick it off by talking about St. Anthony of Padua. Again, we celebrated his feast day yesterday. Yesterday was also the 8th anniversary of my ordination that lasted about 5 minutes over in Dublin, Ireland.
Defrocked.
Yeah, I was frocked and defrocked in no time. Happened to be in a Franciscan church on the feast of St. Anthony, and I never saw so many lilies in all my life, and the church was packed, and during our stay there, there was an elderly woman that came up to Father and asked him to pray over her. And I had been in a separate area, and when I came around, I saw Father praying over her, so I kind of kept my distance. And when Father had finished his prayer, I moved closer, and I happened to be wearing a tau cross that a lot of the secular Franciscans wear. And when the woman looked at me, she thought that I was a priest. And, she said, "Father, will you pray over me?" And I looked at Father McKay, and he kind of gave me a wink and a nod. "Go ahead." So I prayed over her, and she thanked me and went on her way, and, never really knew the difference. But anyway, that was my 5 minutes of ordination that took place right there in Dublin, Ireland. But St. Anthony of Padua, he was born in the year 1195, and he would die on June the 13th. In the year 1231, and it started when he was a young man. He decided to join the Augustinians in Lisbon, and could have been a wealthy guy, and decided instead, like all the saints, to be a servant of God. After that, he happened to be around when the first Franciscan martyrs went through the Portuguese city where he was stationed. And all of a sudden, he wanted to make the switch, and he would join the Franciscans. He entered the Franciscan order and sent out to preach to the Moors, but that didn't last very long because he had an illness that prevented it. Eventually, he would go to Italy and spend time in a small hermitage and there he would pray and read the scriptures and doing menial tasks. The call of God came unexpectedly for him. There was an ordination, but there was nobody there that was prepared to speak. And so Anthony hesitantly accepted the task of preaching at that ordination, and he did such a great job that he became, you know, renowned all over for his great sermons, and that's really what he's known for today. Like we said, he was a great man of prayer, a great scripture and theology scholar. He became the first friar to teach theology to the other friars. He would preach to the Albigensians in France, and using his knowledge of scripture and theology to convert them, and to make sure that they knew that they were being misled by their denial of Christ's divinity and of the sacraments. He led the friars in northern Italy for 3 years, made his headquarters in the city of Padua, which I'm going to get to visit while I'm on vacation, and resumed his preaching and began writing sermon notes to help other preachers. In the spring of 1231, St. Anthony withdrew to a friary where he had something that looked like a treehouse. It was built as a hermitage, and he would pray there and prepare for his death. On June the 13th, he became very ill. He asked to be taken back to Padua, where he died after receiving the last sacraments. Anthony was canonized less than a year later and named a doctor of the church in 1946. That's St. Anthony of Padua, whose feast day we celebrated yesterday on June the 13th.
Yeah, only 36 years old, Ken, and only ordained for 9 years, and really left his mark in the world and in the church. But I get so much out of St. Anthony. You know, like last night, my homily, I was talking about, you know, there's more to St. Anthony than the lost and found department. But one of the things, like, about when he got up to preach that time, and nobody was prepared, and he wasn't prepared. He would just let the Holy Spirit speak through him, just like Francis always spoke spontaneously. It's not that preachers shouldn't be prepared, but should really, you know, lean on the Holy Spirit. And it's really the way we live is the way we preach. And, you know, all my years, you know, preparation, living the gospel, that's preparation for giving homilies and sermons, and to let the Spirit speak. But he was talking about different languages in the Office of Readings. He said that there are different languages that witness to Christ. A language such as humility, that's a language. Poverty's a language. Patience, we're speaking to hearts. Obedience, we speak in those languages. And when we reveal in ourselves these virtues, we reveal these virtues to others. And they're inspired, you know, and they want to be humble, obedient, patient, kind, loving. But yeah, St. Anthony, one of the things I get out of him, sometimes, you know, you get really under fears and anxious when you have to give a retreat or a sermon, and sometimes you're called upon without any preparation, and you just let God speak through you. And that's what St. Anthony, you know, really would encourage, you know, just open your heart and let the Holy Spirit speak through you. And very often, you know, sometimes they become the best homilies of all, because you're listening to the Holy Spirit and more to yourself. But St. Anthony, you know, we had the church up the road here on Grace Ferry Road that's closed now. There are apartments called, Sanctuary Lofts. But right across the street was the Naval Home. And it was the first church that I remember being in. And it was the feast of St. Anthony. I had to be maybe 5 years. I had to be in the mid-1950s somewhere, you know, around 1955, something like that. And yet I was with my grandmother, and you heard this story, Ken, and others have too. But it's always indelible in my heart. It's like it happened yesterday. And my grandmother, it was crowded. It was packed. We were a little late, and we had to go up in the balcony. And I remember looking down at everything, and I was mesmerized. The sun was setting, you know, the sunlight was coming through the stained glass windows. It was the bells and the smells and the choir, and of course it was the traditional mass with the priest's back turned, and the altar servers there, and the church was just packed, and I was overwhelmed. And you know, I saw that movie E.T. There was a scene in the movie E.T. that things were happening, and the little girl says, "Something is happening." Well, that's how I felt, and I didn't know what it was, but something is happening. It was the Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus coming to all the people there. It was Holy Communion, and when communion time came, I remember my grandmother wrapped in prayer, and I'm looking down at the altar, and Father's getting ready to put the ciboriums back into the tabernacle, and all the glitter shining in my heart. I was just mesmerized, you know, something's happening here. And I pulled on my grandmother's dress. I said, "Grandma, what's he doing down there?" And she says, "Shh, Father's putting Jesus back into the tabernacle." And the tabernacle door, and I could hear the key. It was so silent, locking away Jesus. And I looked up at my grandma and said, "Well, won't Jesus have a sore back in there?" You know, I really believed that something happened there to me. And that would never go away. That was one of my first memories that was really indelible. But that was the Feast of St. Anthony at St. Anthony's Church. And often I would go back on the Feast of St. Anthony. My mother and father were married there. It was my mother's parish. And my mother and father's 40th anniversary, we went back and had a Mass of Thanksgiving for their 40th anniversary and then a banquet afterwards. So many really memories there at St. Anthony's Church and St. Anthony's. But yeah, what you were saying, Ken, there's so much more to St. Anthony than the lost and found. But they're important, the lost and found. We were sharing some of them last night, and I shared that one where I wanted to do St. Anthony's brief, and I couldn't find it. And I looked in my files of the Good Friday, it wasn't there, and I'm saying, I got to go through all these files, I'll never find it. And I said, well, I'm going to pray to St. Anthony. And I prayed the prayer. Dear St. Anthony, please come around. Something is lost and cannot be found. If you find it, return it to me. And I'm putting through all the files and return it to me, and oh, happy I will be. And bingo, there it was. And, you know, the thing was, my heart burned. You know, it was like he was really interceding for me. That the saints are our brothers and sisters. They got our back. They're rooting for us from their place in heaven. They don't have their bodies to really communicate to us, but they're sending all these wonderful, beautiful signs. I remember another odder guy when I was a kid. My brother Harry had a miraculous medal tie pin, and I kind of stole it, and I put it on my tie, and I went to school, and I remember losing it. You know, I'm coming home, I don't know what to do. Gosh, you know, my brother's going to kill me. You know, find out that I took his tie pin without asking him. And I start praying to St. Anthony. And it was just amazing that when I got home, I went into the bathroom, and there it was on the bathroom floor. Now, how would it get there? You know, I had it in school. And I prayed that prayer, dear St. Anthony. And I never forgot that. And that was grade school. And the other one, I'll just share this last one because there's so many of them. Was a young kid up in Corpus Christi, and he had lost his locker keys like 2-3 times, and he was in a lot of trouble this time. And I said, "Did you pray to St. Anthony?" He said, "No, what's the prayer?" And so I prayed, "Dear St. Anthony, please come around. Something is lost and cannot be found. If you find it, return it to me. Dear St. Anthony, how happy I will be." And I put my hand down the couch where I was sitting, and there were the keys. Right there. He could hardly believe his eyes. But yeah, all those wonderful signs, you know, of the saints, of our brothers and sisters that really do intercede for us. But it's really that heartburn, you know, when you find the dimes and you find something, you're interceding. You just know God's right there. He's right there. It reminded me of the Emmaus walk when they were walking with Jesus. And Jesus was explaining the scriptures to them. And later on they said, "We're not our hearts burning within us?" And when we find something, you know, utter God, not a coincidence, but a divine incident. It's God right there. And we have that, or not our hearts burning within us. God touching us and revealing himself to us in so many wonderful signs. But yes, St. Anthony, you know, I was thinking also his Eucharistic love. It was a mule, and he was processing with the Blessed Sacrament, and the mule actually bowed down and knelt down in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And St. Anthony is depicted with the child Jesus in his arms. And that comes from one of his followers was looking through his doorway when he was praying, and they saw the child Jesus, that Anthony was holding Jesus in his arms. But what a burning zeal for souls. You know, just he lived the gospel. You know, he was a humble man. You know, they say saints come in all sizes, shapes, and you know, he was kind of corpulent and small, like a roly-poly, you know, just like Thomas Aquinas. He was the same kind of build, you know, but a jolly old soul reflected the radiance of Jesus. And when he preached, he filled the churches so much so that they had to go outdoors, you know. Women, they used to get there real early to make sure that they got a seat. But when he was preaching, it wasn't him preaching. It was Jesus proclaiming the gospel truths of our salvation, especially that truth that this is my body and this is my blood, and whoever takes this and eats it has eternal life now and forevermore. But I just wanted to maybe mention the brief of St. Anthony that I mentioned last night. some people actually carry this with them, but it's an extraordinary story of St. Anthony's brief. The devotion began in the 13th century. And it seems that it was a certain woman who was afflicted so much that she was determined to put an end to her life by drowning. Now, while on her way to carry out this sinful purpose, she passed the Franciscan church. It happened to be the feast of St. Anthony. So she entered the church, and while in prayer, she seemed to see St. Anthony standing near her, holding in his hand a piece of parchment. He gave her this parchment, telling her to arise and keep it, and she would be cured. And when the vision passed, she found the parchment in her hand, and looking at it, she saw what the words said. And the words were in Latin, but these are the English words. Quote, "Behold the cross of the Lord. Fly all hostile powers. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia," end quote. "Behold the cross of the Lord. Fly all hostile powers. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, has conquered. Alleluia, alleluia." The power of the cross, Ken. Amen. And the king found out about it, and he wanted it, and he got it. And then this woman got sick again, and the husband prevailed over the king to get it back, and then she was cured again. And there was a captain of a ship in a storm. They wrote down the words of the parchment, of the brief, and the sea just got real calm. And there it is, the cross. If we just look at the cross of Jesus, you know, that's where he transforms everything, our sins into grace, our guilt and shame into peace and joy. It's the mousetrap of Satan. It's where, you know, someone once called the crucifixion, the cross, was a mousetrap. Jesus was the bait. Satan went for it, and it snapped its back and broke its back, and all these graces are flowing out to us to live the gospel, to be free from fear and worry and upsetment, and to live a life like St. Anthony and all the saints, a life of peace and joy, of radiance, of letting Jesus shine through us, be with us, to be that light of the world, what yesterday's gospel was, and the salt of the earth, not just the light of the church, but the world, to go into the world as his witnesses and bring Jesus and let people see Jesus, whether we're in the marketplace, we're in the Wawa, the Dunkin' Donuts, wherever we're at, you know, just to bring that air of the presence of Jesus. We don't even have to say a word. You know, like St. Francis again, at all times preach the gospel. When necessary, use words. The brief of St. Anthony, "Behold the cross of the Lord. Fly all hostile powers. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, Root of David, has conquered. Hallelujah, hallelujah."
Yeah, Father, you were explaining the story where you actually prayed to St. Anthony to find your copy of the brief, and I thought maybe the copy you were missing was the one that you gave me a couple of months ago. And I keep it in my little wallet that I have my other holy cards in. And I had it in my pocket last night. And should I pull this out and wave it? And then and I saw you pull out the paper you had with the copy on it. So
yeah, that came from the Pink Sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
They would give them out.
Very
good. Yeah, St. Anthony, you know, great saint. It's just amazing, you know, Ken, like 9 years ordained a priest, died at 36, and he's so popular today with so many people.
Yeah.
You know it's not him.
No, exactly.
It's the Lord Jesus himself.
Yeah, and then the whole Otter God, I mean, he wasn't known at all as a preacher, and, you know, I don't know if he necessarily volunteered or they, you know, was kind of pushed into actually preaching that first sermon, and but he does it hesitatingly and finds out that it, the gift that he has, and how many of us get in situations that may be a little bit uncomfortable, and somehow or other we not only manage to get through it but come through it with flying colors. And it's happened so many times in my life, and I know who's behind it. It's not me. It's God, and if he wants to get you in a particular spot doing a particular thing, he's going to find a way to get you there. And you know, that's how many times do we hear it in our Otter, is that Otter, is that God stories, or you know, just other situations where the people find themselves in and not sure at first how they were going to get through it, and then you know, when they eventually do get through it and can look back and see, you know, God's hand in all of it.
Yeah.
So got a couple of minutes before we go to the break, so I'll give out the phone numbers again. We want your calls, especially if you've got an Otter God moment you want to share. You're not going to have an opportunity to do it for a month, so if you got one, today's the day. The number's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or toll free at 888-343-2484. It's 888-343-2484. You got just a couple minutes, Father.
Yeah, I was just thinking. In fact, it was just an Otter God. I just went through the file. I said, man, I wish I had that Radiating Christ by Cardinal Newman, if I can find that. So I'm praying to St. Anthony open up my files. Boom, there it is. But here, I'd like to end with that. Radiating Christ, the light of Christ. You know, that's what the saints do. They radiate Jesus Christ. They no longer live I, but Christ lives in them. All they want to know is the power of his resurrection. You know, that light of Jesus shining right through them. You are the light of the world because Jesus is the light within them. But radiating Christ like the saints. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance everywhere I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that all my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but you, Jesus. Stay with me. And then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you, shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by my example, by the catching force of the sympathetic influence of what I do. The evident fullness of the love of my heart bears for you. Amen. Stay with me, Jesus, that I shall begin to shine as you shine. Let them look up and see no longer me, only you, Jesus. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Shine through us, Lord. You made us the light of the world. Now shine through us. Amen.
Amen. All right. I know the phone board's full right now, and we're going to go to our callers as soon as we come back from the break. So as soon as if you want to get in, you can call as soon as we let one of these others go. In the meantime, we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. And before we go to our callers, just a quick rundown on the upcoming Calyx events. Father McKay and I get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We meet at the Matt Talbot Chapel on the corner of 29th and Dickinson. That's the northeast corner of 29th and Dickinson, where we begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by benediction and then Mass. And then after Mass, we'll have our Calyx meeting, usually get started a little bit after 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, which will be next Tuesday, the 17th of June, we will be, actually, it's not the 17th, it will be the 20th. June 20th, we will be over in St. Gabriel's Church for our third Tuesday Matt Talbot, the Holy Hour, and Mass from 6 to 7. We have a Holy Hour with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Usually have a couple of priests on hand to hear confessions. We end the hour with some prayers through the intercession of Venerable Matt Talbot and benediction, and then turn the altar over in time for Mass at just around 7 o'clock. So all are more than welcome. The Mass is celebrated for those that are in recovery, those that should be in recovery, and all the folks that love them. So anyone and everyone is more than welcome to join us to pray for this critical need, especially in this day and age where the latest numbers are in the neighborhood of 115,000 to 120,000 people that are dying annually now from drug overdoses. So we get together on that third Tuesday in order to pray for all of us, and especially those that struggle with addiction. The unit, Calyx unit at the Queen of the Universe in Levittown, meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow night, June the 15th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media, they meet on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and Calyx meeting afterwards. They just had their meeting this past Saturday, so they'll get together again on Saturday, July the 8th. The Glenside unit at my home parish in St. Luke's in Glenside meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 a.m. Mass, 8:30 in the morning, followed by Calyx meeting. And our meeting will be this coming Saturday, June the 17th. All are more than welcome to join there as well. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They'll be getting together on Saturday, June the 24th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets every Wednesday at St. Matthew's. They start with Mass at 6:15, followed by a Calyx meeting. My guest today in the 5 o'clock hour is going to be Dr. Alex Lessard, and we'll be talking about Catholic education. You'll want to stick around for that. But in the meantime, we'll get back to the regular show, and we'll kick it off with those that have called in. And we're going to start with Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hello.
Hey, Frank. How you doing, pal?
Good morning, Father Doug. Hi, Ken. Ken, that's St. Matthew's. Is that the St. Mass in Mayfair you talk about?
No, it's in Wilmington, Delaware, Frank.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, because I'm like, it's in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Father Doug, every morning when I first wake up, I do all my prayers. It's the rosary, a bunch of people. I pray for St. Michael the Archangel, but also AA. Not what you're thinking. I pray to St. Andrew and St. Anthony. That's my other AA people. I want to ask you about Doug. I don't think I ever asked you before. If I did, it was a long time ago. Just say a prayer for me that my vision's restored and the use of my legs comes back. I can walk. I told you before, just very difficult. But, the nerve damage to the muscles in my whole body, I appreciate it. And this morning when I woke up, I kept saying to myself, it's Wednesday, 4 o'clock, and I forgot about as usual. Captain Lou gave me a call at 4 o'clock. This is the best hour all week long. I look forward to it. I'm always happy to hear the both of you. I just want to say hi, and anyone out there listening, if I can make it, you can make it too. Trust me. Listen to these two people, get sober, and enjoy a good life. It's really great. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate your call. It's becoming the habit now. We like it. Thank you.
I have to.
Yeah.
You guys were there for me when I wasn't there for myself, and you guys brought me out of hell, and I'm living large every day, and I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Keep up the good work. Father,
remember, I'm waiting for Father Doug to give me clearance because I keep hanging up before. I always wait till he says, hang up, Frank.
Well, they cut me off, Frank. I just got back on.
Okay.
And I was thinking, I bet Frank will call in today, and it's always good to hear your voice. You know, I hear the Lord speaking right through you. You know, the change in you, all I see is God's grace and transforming love in your heart, mind, body, and soul. So thank you, Frank, for being such a wonderful witness.
Father Doug?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, because yesterday when I found out it was St. Anthony's feast day, because when I do my prayers in the morning, I always ask St. Anthony, I said, I lost my health. Can you help me find it and give it back to me? That's what I always prayed to him for. That's what I was asking for you to throw in a prayer for me, too, for the same thing. I appreciate it. Have a great one. Both of you. Thank you.
God bless you.
All right, Frank. Thanks. Yep, we'll talk to you in a month or so. We're not going to be on for, we won't be live for the next month or so.
Whole month. Okay, well, we had a guy last day.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, replay. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Take care, Frank. All right, and we're going to go to Michael. Yeah, Father, sorry about that. I hit the wrong button on the box here and dropped you.
Yeah.
So we still have you, and we should have Michael. You there, Mike?
I'm here.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, Kenny.
What's Father, going on?
I just had to call in on the Feast of St. Anthony. You know, Father, I did an extra year in St. Anthony. Went there for 13 years instead of 12. They thought I should stay at Messiah. Anyhow, I think you guys are pronouncing his name wrong. If you were from our neighborhood, his name was Anthony, not Anthony.
Yeah, you take out the H-O, it's just Anthony.
Yeah, we dropped that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love that parish. Great neighborhood. Right down the road from St. Dave's. So many parishes that were right in that area. King of Peace, St. Aloysius, you know, all these parishes that closed down. And, that was great times back then. And, you know, I just think about it. I have, I don't know what they call visions, or just laying in bed. And looking up at that big picture of Calvary over the altar, you know, and seeing that picture. And, you know, later on, my voice is a little cracking. Later on, we have a nice AA meeting. Bob Mann, he got that going for us. He was a priest, along with you, Bob. That was a great help in my recovery. So, just had a call in today saying hello and, you know, let you know my devotion to St. Anthony. When the guys were still pronouncing it right.
Yeah.
That's all, guys.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Michael. I appreciate the fraternal correction and the pronunciation of the name. Father?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. When I think of St. Anthony's Church, I think of you and all the guys from the Pocket and Schuylkill that attended there, and all the school. You graduate the school and all the masses there. But, yeah, St. Anthony, pray for us.
Right.
Amen. All right, Michael, thanks for the call, brother.
Leslie, can I say one more thing?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
When I was born, my mother wanted to name me Anthony, and my father said no way. From what I heard, it was a pretty heated discussion that went on between them two. So the compromise was that I was baptized Michael Anthony McGuire.
So, there you go.
That's it. All right.
You said it wrong, though. It's Michael Antony.
I know. I knew you would catch that.
Yeah, yeah. All good, Michael. Good to hear your voice, brother. Be good.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Antony. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, we know now. It'll never be Mike or this other nickname. It'll just be Michael Antony.
Antony.
Yeah. Yo, Ant. So the phone lines are clear. If you were trying to call in and got a busy signal, you can try to call in now. And I'd be happy to take your calls. In the meantime, we got a couple of good feast days coming up this coming weekend, beginning with Friday with the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, followed on Saturday by the Memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And somewhere in here I had... there we go. Yeah, the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It was around for quite a while before it became official. In 20th of October in the year 1672, it was Father John Eudes, who was a priest from Normandy, celebrated the feast for the first time. But apparently there had been some German mystics that had already been cultivating the devotion. And it was Mathilde of Magdeburg and Mathilde of Hackeborn and Gertrude of Hefte.
Lugard.
And then Blessed Henry Suso. But it really wasn't until Jesus would appear to Margaret Mary Alacoque in the beginning in 1673, where she would have the visions and Jesus would talk to her about his divine heart. So it was the year 1856 where Pope Pius IX made it an obligatory feast throughout the Universal Church. And then in 1995, St. John Paul II instituted the World Day of Prayer for the Sanctification of Priests that takes place now on the same day. So it was really Margaret Mary Alacoque who really made this popular in the 17th century. And I know, Father, it's a great devotion of yours. You talk often about the promises of those who have a devotion to the Sacred Heart, and I know you take real pride in at least one of them. So,
the 10th one, Ken.
Amen.
Yeah. I will give to priests the grace to touch the most hardened hearts. And boy, you know, I wear the Sacred Heart on me. But maybe be good to just mention the 12 promises here. Number one, I will give them all the graces necessary in their state of life. Number two, I will establish peace in their homes. Three, I will comfort them in their afflictions. Four, I will be their secure refuge during life and above all in death.
5, I will bestow a large blessing upon all their undertakings. 6, sinners shall find in my heart the source and infinite ocean of mercy. 7, tepid souls shall grow fervent. 8, fervent souls shall quickly mount to high perfection. 9, I will bless every place where a picture of my heart shall be set up and honored. 10, I will give to priests the gift of touching the most hardened hearts. 11, those who shall promote this devotion shall have their names written in my heart, never to be blotted out. 12, I promise, in the excessive mercy of my heart, that my all-powerful love will grant to all those who communicate on the first Friday in 9 consecutive months the grace of final repentance. They shall not die in my disgrace, nor without receiving the sacraments. My divine heart shall be their safe refuge in this last moment. Promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Ken.
Yeah, you need to change those words in the 10th one to include the big fish.
Yeah. You know, that experience I had at Malvern, so many indelible mystical experiences at Malvern, but one of them, Ken, was on the Frail Retreat that I gave. I think I might have been a retreatant instead of preaching the retreat. I actually was a retreatant on 3 of the retreats and preached. I'll be preaching my 3rd retreat. So I got like six retreats there with the Frail group. But it was one of those retreats, and I got up early. I got my coffee, got my breviary, and I went out to the Sacred Heart Pavilion right there by St. Joe's there. The chapel, right out front. And I sat down, I saw a deer, and it was blue skies and puffy white clouds, and I just felt really, you know, enwrapped in the presence of God. And then I was drawn over to read the promises. And the 10th one, when I came to, I heard the Lord say to me, Douglas, you preach my mercy really well, but you yourself don't feel worthy of it. And I said to him, well, Lord, should I feel worthy all my life? I hear I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And he interrupted me. He said, you are worthy. You are not your sins, your shortcomings, your character defects. You know, you are my brother, and you are in my image and likeness. And God the Father doesn't make junk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're worthy because of who we are and not what we do. And that stuck with me. That was really indelible, you know, and because of that, I could preach that over and over again, that we are not our shortcomings and our character defects, and we beat ourselves up with shame and guilt, when the Lord's whole mission is to take that away because it's foreign to us, and to restore us and redeem us. Greater than God's creation is His redemption, to redeem us and restore us back to who we really are, and to let Him do that. And that's really the great mercy, and I'll never forget that day. At that pavilion and reading that 10th promise, I will give the priest. And boy, he gave me, you know, that day, his grace to touch my most hardened heart and to know that mercy and that transforming love of his, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, I just think about, you know, all the priests and the reason why you've become a priest. And the bottom line is to help people, you know, achieve salvation, and one of the key ways to do that is through the sacrament of confession. And you know, that I, you know, the priests that I've known and talked to, you know, never reveal what actually happens in the confession, but you can hear the excitement in their voices when they've had that big fish. Somebody that's been away from the church for a while and comes back and goes to confession. And I got to witness it about a month ago, you know, with the friend I had helped over 10 years ago. And I think it took close to 13 years for him to finally go to confession. And the joy that the priest felt that heard his confession, the joy that he felt having gone to communion for the first time in a lot of years, and just knowing the small role that I had to play in that. But, you know, that's what this is all about. That's why we're here. That's why we have these radio shows. We may, you know, talk around these things and not do it specifically. But the bottom line is to bring souls to the feet of Christ, and no greater way to do that than through the sacrament of confession. Before I go back to you, Father, we got another caller on the line and somebody familiar to us. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Ken. Father. Oh,
hi,
my God. I just turned into your show, and it's all about the Sacred Heart. Oh, thank you, Father. You are such an inspiration, especially on that subject. And you came to my home and prayed and set up the enthronement for me here in my house. You're always remembered here at the picture of our Sacred Heart here on the wall. And I wanted to share about our little Franciscan servant of God, Julia Greeley, who was a slave in the 1800s and converted to Catholicism. She served families in Denver, Colorado. And on the first Fridays, she was a parishioner of the Sacred Heart Church and became very devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And she would go to the firehouses and walk with her arthritic legs, walk to each one and give out those Sacred Heart badges to every firefighter, because there had been earlier, a few years prior, a fire, and there were many firemen killed. She would present them, and this is what she would say: "Here is your ticket to heaven." Every first Friday. And I, a few years ago, went to the one on 13th Street and gave out handouts, her handouts, the little booklets on Julia Greeley. She's the patroness of firefighters. And there were only two there. It was the 4th of July. The others were at lunch. And I left booklets for them and gave them badges. And I kind of... I felt like I was walking in her footsteps. But I am so devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus also, and I am blessed, so blessed. Oh, my God. And just to hear you talking about him and the promises, how wonderful they are, and he is to us, his love for us, so intense. And he calls us constantly, constantly he calls us. So I just wanted to call and say thank you, Father, for your coming to my home and doing that special labor of love in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Now, I remember that day very well.
God bless you, Father.
God bless you. You know, with the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart, you know, it's our Lord who actually picks the feast day of his Sacred Heart. He names it. And he says to Margaret Mary that I desire a feast of my heart to be celebrated on the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi. So the octave would be 8 days, and then the following Friday would be the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But we have dropped the octave in the church. We only have two octaves, Christmas and Easter. So it's always the Friday after Corpus Christi. And then we have the Immaculate Heart of Mary right after that.
Right.
But it's showing that his heart pulsates in the Eucharist. That's where his heart is. And all that love and mercy and all the virtues and graces that we need to sit before that tabernacle, before his Eucharistic presence, to receive that divine radiation therapy and receive those virtues of his, the peace, the joy, the love, because we don't have it ourselves. And let him inundate us and overflow our hearts so that we can be his witnesses and go out and share those virtues of his and be the light of Christ to the dark world and shine forth his presence that's always with us. But wow, you know, what love that he would stay with us in that little white host in all the tabernacles of the world. And he tells us right there, that's where his heart is. And that's where he wishes to have that feast day of the Sacred Heart right after Corpus Christi, to show that his heart is pulsating in all the tabernacles of the world. All we need to do is come to him. You know, and that'll be the reading that the church picked out, you know, for for the Sacred Heart reading.
Matthew,
it's 11:28, I believe. Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Well, we know where he's at, and we won't get a greater invitation than that. Come to me. Meet him in his holy sacrament, in all the tabernacles of the world, and receive that refreshment, that mercy of his, that joy and peace that the world can't give, and that transforming love that he wants to share with us so much. So how blessed we are, you know, with the Eucharist and his Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary right there. That little white host, the greatest love story ever told.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Father. Amen.
All right, Mary, thanks for the call, hon. It's great to hear from you.
Bless you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. You know, as Mary was talking about the enthronement that was done in her house, I remember it was actually during the World Meeting of Families, and I'd known Kathleen McCarthy for a while at that point, and it was there that she and a bunch of others, I didn't realize how much she was involved with the enthronement of the two hearts in people's homes. So I can only imagine the number of homes that Kathleen has performed that in. And I bring it up too because I neglected to bring it up at the beginning of the hour that Kathleen did leave the hospital last Friday, but is currently in a rehabilitation center, getting that back of hers worked on. So please continue to keep her in prayer. And you know, with what's going on here at the studio, there's some renovations going on to the building itself, and so we've been asked to vacate the premises for a month. And so it could be a little while before you hear some of the broadcasters live again. And just so you're aware that's why. We haven't abandoned you. We have some renovations going on here that is going to keep us from coming into the studio. Some of the broadcasters will be able to continue to call in and do it from home. Won't be able to take calls during that time, but you know, some of the shows will be available. But please, please, please continue to keep Kathleen in your prayers. God knows she's prayed for all of us over the years. So I got just a couple of minutes left here, Father, two to be exact.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, the love that Kathleen has for the Eucharist. Remember, Ken, she would come down for our Calyx retreats on Saturday. Yeah. And I always remember when she was giving her talk, I had the Blessed Sacrament from the upstairs chapel. And Harry was there, and we were in the stairwell waiting for her to finish. And it was just me, Harry, and the Blessed Sacrament. And we were listening to Kathleen and how she could hear the pulsations of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, she would share that story.
Yeah.
And I always, this is indelible, she would take the microphone on her finger, and she would say, it sounded like this, and she would hit the microphone,
yeah,
and it sounded like the pulsations of Jesus, of his Sacred Heart, that she could hear beating within her own heart. And isn't that true, that the indwelling presence, that his heart resides in our hearts, that he's that close to us, so intimate with us. But Kathleen, you know, what a witness of the real presence of Jesus, what a witness, you know, of his love, of his Sacred Heart. So you know, we'll all keep Kathleen in our prayers. I've been on the phone with her a few times. I've been lighting candles for her recovery because we really need her.
Amen.
So, God bless Kathleen through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus and St. Joseph's Chaste Heart. Make her well, Lord. Amen.
Amen. So, can we get your blessing, Father?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the heart of your Son, present in all the tabernacles of the world. And by the gift of your Holy Spirit, just prompt us and lead us closer to his real presence, that we may receive that refreshment, that rest, and those virtues of yours, that we may become just like Jesus, follow him to that place in heaven that he's won for us all, and bless us all, especially those who are suffering so much, the elderly, and also those who are homebound, all the elderly, and in particular for Kathleen feeling. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
All right, Father, thank you. For our listeners, our guest in the 5 o'clock hour is going to be Dr. Alex Lessard, and he's already on the line, so don't go away. We'll be back shortly.